Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rebook, the show where we talk about the men and the women who are slapping all the meat in the middle of the square circle and the stories they tell in the process, brother. I'm, of course, GB. You also have Matt, and you cannot forget about the lovely Jake, and he's got his asinine wisdom mug, so you know we're going to be spitting some facts today because we are going to be talking about some pro wrestling storylines. And there's a lot going on. Now, you're probably wondering, GB, where the hell are you? Well, I'm in Canada, which is awesome.
Where in the world is Golden Boy doing now? This bullshit? Whatever.
I'm in Canada for Masters Toronto. It's been awesome. Got to go to a Blue Jays game yesterday. And it was a great game because it was a double homer, walk-off homer for the dub. Absolutely electric. It was super fun in there.
It was
really good. It was Diamondbacks versus Diamondbacks.
Oh, the Diamondbacks. Yeah, hey, yeah. We need the Diamondbacks to lose. That helps.
Yeah, it was 4-3 on the count. And then who was it? Was it Jimenez or Barga? I don't remember, but one of them walked up and just clocked it out of the park for the final hit. It was so it was fun. And also inexpensive. I cannot stress that enough. How affordable everything was in Canada, like watching the games at the stadium. It was awesome. So yeah, great times. Fellas, how you doing? You good? Everything good in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, not too shabby. Yeah,
Jake, what about you? What you got going
on? I just was trying to figure out who Bo Bichette and Addison Barger hit the home run.
Oh, Bichette was the first one. Yeah, I thought it was Jimenez. Yeah. No, it was Bichette, and then it was Barger. Yeah, that's who it was.
Bichette? The guy's name is Bichette?
Yes.
Bichette. B-I-C-H-E-T-T.
His name is Michel Bichette.
Oh, I thought somebody's name was bullshit or whatever. Okay, cool.
No, but it is pretty funny walking around the stadium and seeing the people with like the jersey. And if you didn't like know and you just catch it on the side, you just see bitch like right there. And you're like, oh, God, wait. Oh, that's his name. Never mind. I'm so sorry. I apologize. Super fun out here. Toronto's amazing. If you've never had a chance to come, you should come to Toronto. This place is freaking awesome. And the food. Oh, my God. Every street you go to, it's like a God-tier restaurant. It's crazy. This place is kind of a cheat code. In any case, so that means we're doing the show on the road.
We will add their technological and cultural distinctiveness to our own when they become our 51st state.
Don't do that. Do not. I'm here. I'm literally here. Don't put a target on me.
Well, let them know. Let them know.
I have no intention.
Warn them.
Call them all brother. Hello, comrade.
Hello, fellow comrade. All right. Well, folks, as you know, on the road. So we're going to keep the show a little closer, a little tighter, I should say. Apologies. But we still have a decent amount of stuff to talk about because boy oh boy has a lot happened in the week of, in this week in pro wrestling. We'll start things off and waste no time and jump into it because our boy Leon Slater is finally getting his opportunity. He's going to take on Moose for the X Division title. That's going to happen at Slammiversary. Matt, so give us the lore on this and what we like, what led to this so that this week we can kind of recap it and then we'll go from there.
Actually, this is the first official match made for Slammiversary, which is kind of cool. We've been waiting to get matches made, and now we are officially on that road to one of our biggest shows of the year, this year in particular, because we're going to be at the UBS Arena in New York, which is very, very cool. So we already have one of probably several headlining matches, but basically this went back to Rebellion, which you guys were at. And they had that Ultimate X, which had a funky ending. I will fully acknowledge to all the fans out there who were like, that was BS. And I don't know if it went perfectly, but for not going perfectly, it was also a razor thin margin for error to pull that finish off.
Yeah. Yeah.
It may not have been perfect. A lot of people think it didn't come off, but I'm like, I think it was close enough to have this argument.
Yes. But as it often does in wrestling, it ended up giving us kind of a great story.
Yeah.
It did.
So that's what's great about it. I think it all worked out for the better anyway.
Yeah, and I don't love blurring sometimes of like real life and stuff like that. I'm like, no, just write a good fictional story and you don't have to like go to tabloid stuff. But a lot of people there were a lot of fans who were just in it and like didn't like that. Like, oh, it looked like he won. He should have won. Then there's also people who are like, I don't like this booking, or like, I don't like this spot. So that, but it gets a lot of people either way on his side. There are a lot of people who wanted to see him win it. So my only regret was that we got away from it a little bit with the Hardys and Nemeth and everything like that.
Yeah.
But luckily, before we get to the final push to Slam, we've got this match made. And even this past week on Impact, just again, continuing to put Leon out as the star that he is. There was a big brawl that ended the first class Hardys tag match, big brouhaha from the system and blah. But Leon, once again, just hitting that giant dive bomb over the corner, clearing out the field. Like, again, I love positioning him as the star and the future star that he is. So like, good start to the road to Slam for Leon and the X Division title.
Well, yeah. I even think, you know, the short moment that he had with the Hardys, I think was good. It just gave him more opportunity to flourish, to shine, to kind of be showcased. So people, even more people, can see what we already thought really going into that, that match, where we were like, Leon Slater's great, and then he just blew the top off of it.
Yeah.
I think it was good. I mean, it's, you know, it's, I'd say 4 out of 5 times timing in wrestling usually kind of works out for the best. And I think it really did for him here. I'm just really happy for him, because it's also like, it can be rare sometimes for a company or promotion to strike when the iron's hot.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see them, like, you know, really listening to the fans and saying, oh, hey, yeah, he's really making waves over here. Let's start showcasing him more and let's give him this opportunity. And it's really the opportunity that you want to see everybody at every job get, of being like, hey, this guy's good, give him a shot, let's see what he can do.
Yeah.
And that's always nice to see.
I love it, just personally. I think TNA in particular, of course I'm biased, but I think we've had a really good track record in the last like 4 or 5 years, like, because for a long time, I think we all know, TNA had the almost kind of what AEW had for a minute too, of the idea of like, this is where old WWE people go, and it still can be, but other companies still can be a great place. But it was also, we've shown in the last few years, this is where talent can develop and come. We can take them from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Not that we made them better wrestlers, because they're all phenomenal as they are, but like, show, kind of introduce them to like a national or an international audience. And people like Jordan Grace, people like even Deonna, I think is a great example, was very low tier appreciated in WWE. She was in NXT. She made but like, they never even on NXT propped her up at all.
Yeah,
and then she just ran the TNA women's division. Then yeah, Jordan, you have people like Joe Hendry, you have people like Leon Slater. It's a track record of like, hey, a place to come, be creative, and really get discovered by the world stage. And I like that it's still happening.
That's what's so great, is like having a place where, I mean, I can speak to this even just as a writer, how hard it is to have someone hire you and just let you do what you were hired to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what's great about TNA, is it doesn't seem like so micromanagey. It's like, it seems more collaborative, like, hey, what can we do to make this better? What do you want to do? How can we make it fit with what we want to do here? And it just seems like a wrestling boot camp in a way. And I think that's why it's such a great place for people to go.
Yeah. And I also think too, like, one of the things that I want to see with this match and after the fact is kind of like a reinvigoration of the X division, you know. Not that like, you know, because I think Moose's run has been okay, but it hasn't really felt like an X division title run. It's felt more like Moose has the X division title, which does feel like that is what its intention was, which is perfectly fine. But to me, when I think about the X division, I think about like the future of TNA. I think about the incredible matches, Ultimate X. I think about all the amazing like people who've held that title in the past, right? I would like to see that brought back to that. And I think Leon Slater, if he wins, which he should, I think would very much be the exact thing that you would need, because you got a lot of really good like wrestlers and high flyers in the company right now. Like Casey Navarro, we keep giving him his flowers, but like he really is one of those guys where I think like those two are going to be like X Division mainstays that like could very well entertain people all across the world. So I don't know. I'm excited for this. But a question though for you guys. Yeah, go for it. Go for it, Jake. What were you going to say?
Oh, I should say the X Division title to me has always felt like if the hardcore title got a job. it's the more serious brother who's like, hey, X is over here doing big things, you know. He's got a lot of investors, yeah, and there's a lot of promise, and like, you know, he's like the golden child of those
like unique offshoot titles, yes, that aren't like your mainline men's or like, yeah, mid-card or tag title. Yeah,
it's everybody goes hard after it, everybody wants that title, like it's coveted. Yeah, so that's why it's I mean, anybody can go after it, and I don't know, that's always been a lot of fun to me.
Yeah,
I've always enjoyed that.
The X Divisions has been TNA's like secret weapon for a really long time, and I think it
I also just say, and maybe it's the lighting, you're looking exceptionally bald today. Like it looks very smooth.
Oh, me?
It looks very.
I just shaved, so
yeah. I was gonna say,
you know, I
like that sounded condescending, Jake. I'm not gonna lie,
like a fresh egg. No, I mean, I'm paying a compliment.
I
just
want to
rub my face on the top of your head like that. I bet it feels amazing.
It naturally.
We're not your fetish, you freak,
you animal.
Listen, get it where you can take it where you can get it.
I was going to say that that now that we know that this match is set, and look, it's Moose, it's the system, it's bound to be you know, they're going to get involved in some way. Do we see Matt a potential kind of like, you know, I think everyone's trying to like dabble a little bit with the overbooked WrestleMania 41 style type of match, or hell, even like old, what was it, like Forbidden Door back in the day when they overbooked the hell out of that main event. I just watched that one the other day when Bryanson and Cole came out on the same night. What a freaking day. What do you think happens here, though? Do you think that this should be like one of those like Leon Slater versus the world type of things? Or would you like to see it be more of a one-on-one matchup that determines this? Like, how would you like to see this play out, especially with the system involved, Matt?
I think the system, I mean, to your point, is going to get involved along the way,
and
of course, at the match itself. I will say this, as far as like a, you know, team or factions taking each other, almost like, you know, Death Riders, Team AEW, you know, Team Cody, Bloodline, that kind of thing. I don't know, because without spoiling anything, without, you know, getting too specific, Bertie, you know, the Hardys are probably going to have a busy night at Slammiversary too, for example, two people who've been in his corner very firmly. So a lot of the people who've had his back are probably going to have pretty intense, pretty busy nights at Slammiversary too. So they may be occupied. So I do feel like, I don't think it'll be, I also think the other members of the system may be occupied as well. But I for sure, you know, there's an Alicia always to think about. I don't know what JDC's plans are. So I do think to a certain degree, though, I would love to see, obviously Leon Slater can't take out all five members of the system or whatever. But like if he had to deal with one or two of them in addition to Moose, I'd like to see him eliminating those threats while still like evading and taking care of Moose, like just to make him that world beater a little bit. Yeah. And really overcome some odds on his own and make a really big moment out of it.
Yeah.
Because I also think we've seen too many of those, like, oh, there's their partner and then my friend. And then to their other two partners and then my tag team friend. Like, we've seen a lot of that in wrestling in the last, like, year and a half.
Yeah.
So to see someone just, like, on their own overcome the odds by, you know, even if it's just barely hanging on, getting rid of this guy, I think that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. Jake, you think, how would you approach this with the system involved? Is that, it, would it be in a similar capacity? Would you like to see like it be kind of minimized? Like maybe just Alicia is the one who kind of like dips her toes in the situation?
Oh man, that's hard to say because it's, I mean, I feel like if you downplay their involvement, it downplays the title a little in a way. And I almost, because it's like, so you would all come out for the world title, but you wouldn't come out for the X Division title. I think that kind of like, I don't know. I kind of feel like I would want them a little more involved. I mean, you could even have them, I mean, depending on like the order that you do things and blah, blah, blah. It could be a moment where Moose is waiting for them to come out and they've already been taken out in the back.
Yeah.
You could do something like that where, you know, and you just have some like, that way it doesn't feel overbooked with everyone rushing out to the ring. You can just cut to the back and be like, you know, and have some people who are friends of Leon's or who maybe gave him some advice going up to Slammiversary. And it's just like, you know, dust their hands off, walk away, go get them, kid, kind of thing. And then the match continues out in the ring. I think something like that would be great because it's a tough line to walk because you feel like the system has to be involved in some capacity because, I mean, that's just, why wouldn't they be? But like, you don't want to take away from what Leon is doing. Like this is such a big first for him. Mm-hmm. So I would really want to showcase and highlight him. So if you do that stuff in the back, then it's like, okay, it's all up to you. All up to you now, Leon. Go get it done. And so I think that would be a fun way to handle all that.
And you know what, too? I actually think, you brought up a really good point about how the system rallied behind the world title and ensuring Moose continued to retain it and how it would be weird if they didn't. But it got me thinking, you can also play this up where, look, Moose isn't going to take him seriously. He's not going to. Does he view Leon Slater as a threat? He's Moose. You know what I mean? Like, he speared him and then just ended the match and took the belt back from him. I would like to see a Moose that is overconfident, that very much feels like, I'm going to win this because Leon Slater is nowhere near my power, my strength. But the reality is that when you're talking about the X Division, it's about the speed, it's about the skill, it's about all these other aspects of it as well, not just being super strong. Obviously, it's a championship, but to me, the X Division's always symbolized, like, you know, that as well as the next up, if you will, like the, it was always these the dynamic wrestlers as well as the people who are oftentimes the next up. And I think, yep, like, Leon Slater could very well be like, hey, you forget this is the X Division and I'm going to run circles around you in this ring with my speed. But maybe, you know, you get like this really fun, like, I don't know, like Brock Lesnar, Daniel Bryan type situation where like he's really trying to like maneuver around him as Moose is just looking for one or two really big moves to just like end him in the match. I think there are a lot of fun directions they can go with, and I hope they have fun with the storytelling within the match, because I think that there's going to be some really awesome fireworks. I mean, those two guys, like athleticism wise, I think,
oh yeah,
they're going to pull off some amazing moves. You know, with Moose's strength and Leon Slater's flexibility, speed, and let's not forget youth, they're going to pull off some incredible moves. So I think that could be a potential match of the night. I'm really excited for it. I know a lot of people are really stoked about it. But the road to Slammiversary is going to continue forward here because we got, you know, still more things happening in the world of TNA. You know, the inspiration is back. We can't forget about that, which is always going to be fun to see. Matt, what should we be expecting on Impact this week before we move on?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
You have, I don't know, work, you work the show. Okay. Well, I mean,
it's Wednesday. The show doesn't happen for another 24 hours.
What are we expecting to see?
They don't tell Matt things.
They don't tell me anything.
They come in, they shine his head and put him in front of a microphone and tell
him. No, I'm getting the big thing this week is the Champions Challenge. That's our thing. Before we head, I head to Pittsburgh to do our next set of tapings leading into Slammiversary, which will be like the final episodes leading up to the UBS Arena. So expect a lot there. But yeah, tonight the big headline is we're doing this thing we've done before, the Champions Challenge. Every champion, this is just the men. We've done it with both men and women, but all the men's champions on one team versus some TNA all-stars, if you will, on the other side of the match.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, you'll see some interesting relationships. You know, there are some teammates that may not work well with one another on certain sides of the ring and stuff like that. So drama may unfold.
Ooh, the drama continues. Of course, that'll be Impact this week. You can catch it on the 20th. And like you said, UBS Arena, Long Island. It's going to be exciting. Looking forward to it. That reminds me, didn't TNA also do like a new TNA Plus thing too?
A new free tier.
Yeah, that's freaking cool. So that just includes like matches, old like a vault of matches. What I don't know what's in it.
I'm not sure exactly what is on the free. I literally just saw that thing. I heard them toying with the idea, and I saw the announcement, but I haven't. I have Ultimate TNA Plus, so I see everything whatever I want.
Because so privileged. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I haven't totally explored what's on the free tier. I don't know if it's ad supported or if it's just limited content, but still a great way to just kind of get in, especially for a new fan of TNA. If you're like, I don't know, let me see some of the archives, etc. To your point.
Yeah, exactly. And also with Slammiversary around the corner, I think this is a great time to get involved in TNA because, like, you know, this is like one of their big events, right? It's like Slam and Bound for Glory are like the two big ones. So this one's going to be like quite big. So you're going to want to make sure you're getting all up to date on the storylines. And don't worry, when we're back, you know, I'm back in my home doing my thing, we'll be doing a more in-depth coverage on the road to Slammiversary as we get ready for that event. It's going to be exciting. Moving on. We're going to go over to the world of All Elite Wrestling, a little AEW. So there was another four-hour show this week. But I want to say, and I really want to stress this. This, it was like I know that they don't watch Rebooked, and I know that they planned this way in advance. But remember 2 weeks when we were talking about Fyter Fest, we were discussing how it felt like a filler episode in an anime or whatever when, like, nothing really happened. There were just good matches. And then there was like one big thing. And then that was like basically it. Well, this episode, which was Summer Blockbuster, this one actually had a ton of stuff in it. And one of the big ones was our friends Swerve, Hangman, and Ospreay all trying to figure out how this love triangle is going to work out. And it has been the most compelling thing for me. I very much enjoyed it. I enjoyed that whole sequence backstage where the Bucks confronted Hangman and Hangman is like, leave Swerve alone. And then Prince Nana's like, you heard that, boss? And then he's like in the room. Osprey's getting treated to.
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to Swerve Strickland's hearing ability, because they went down, they were in the hallway, down another short hallway, through a door, and then you even saw Nana yell into like another room to say, boss, did you hear that? Like next to the trainer.
They were yelling.
So he went
though.
From one room to another room, up and do it through a door and another short hallway. I'm just saying, like, there are multiple barriers.
Hey.
And he still said he heard, and I quote, every word. So I'm happy for Swerve. You have incredible 2020 hearing, bro.
Yeah, it really does. It doesn't get any better than that. But 2020 hearing. But Jake, this I really like this from the story that they're telling here and clearly the directions that we're going in. And it's and I really like the Young Bucks' like involvement in this and like the little smatterings along the way of like them showing up, preventing Swerve from winning the title, them helping Hangman, you know, all that stuff. What do you make of like how they have built this story out with the characters, if you will, that they have involved?
it almost feels like they've been tying loose ends that they have been finding in stories they've been telling along the way.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is a good thing, because when you can do that and it be coherent, like that stuff that's stuff to do. I mean, especially when you've got this living, breathing story that can, I mean, it's so, you know, we know it's such a unique form of storytelling that it can literally change at any moment just because of real world shit, you know? So the fact that they've been able to take these little moments and pull references from stuff that's happened months ago, or, you know, and make it fit with the narrative of what they're doing now is actually really, really impressive. So I'm really enjoying it, and it's raising the stakes even more. I think it's really building in to all in being, I mean, aside from the very first ever all in, it may be the biggest event that AEW has ever had. I mean, honestly, it really kind of is feeling that way, that we're building towards a Nexus event for AEW with All In Texas.
I like the way you said that, a Nexus event, because you are very right. Here's another thing that I, of course, here's another thing though that I also liked, and this, I know people are gonna have different opinions on this, and that is completely valid and fair. I like that Jon Moxley has kind of just been a caricature of a bad guy in this whole thing. Because the story's not really about, he's not really about him. It has nothing to do with him. And I even think that he knows that as well. Like, the story is about the three men that are involved in this situation, which is weird, but, you know.
I feel like Jake would know this.
Okay.
There's a movie. I feel like it's like a cartoon, not a Disney one. It was like one of those 90s, like other studio animated movies. Oh my God. We're like the bad guy is like just a big black something. Like it was a big black wall, but that's all it ever was. It didn't have a personality really. It didn't have like a motivate. It was just like, oh, we're never going to defeat the, there's some story vaguely reminding me of that, but like sometimes, but it was a really good movie because it was all about the characters and their struggle.
Was it Stranger Worlds or something like that? It was like a sci-fi movie.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Yeah. Cause I remember that one had like a bit of a loftier villain, but yeah, go for it. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
But yeah, that, I think that's really, sometimes like your bad guy is just the big black wall. It is just, it is the thing just stopping you. It doesn't have, do we like a layered bad guy? Of course. But sometimes when the story's good enough with your protagonist and complicated and layered enough.
Are you thinking about the Nothing from Neverending Story?
Maybe. I was going to say, I thought I was almost going to say Neverending Story, but I don't know.
The Nothing?
Yeah. I think that's what it was called.
I don't remember a lot of the Neverending Story. It's been years since I've watched it.
Either way. But yeah,
is a malevolent, formless entity that represents the loss of imagination and belief in fantasy, threatening to consume the world of Fantastica.
Well, that sounds like the Death Riders.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
That amorphous blob, we're going to ruin everything.
You know what's ironic? This has been a never-ending story.
At least it feels like it sometimes.
But you know what, though?
That's perfect. Yeah. It's been nothing, and it's been a never-ending story.
And I do want to give credit to Jon Moxley in this, because he plays that role. He plays it really well. And he's going to continue to just provoke and cause problems for Hangman. And Hangman is continuing to build up the world around him, the support system that he needs. And what I like about this one versus like when they did it with Cody, and this might be a hot take, but we'll see. With Cody, I never believed that like those people were his friends. Does that make sense? I never got the vibe that Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, maybe Randy Orton, but like Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, Seth Rollins, right? All those people who came out to the ring to celebrate with him. It was like cool because those were the heroes of WWE. But remember, Cody kind of just came in and then everything had happened. And then it's been like, what, that was like 2 years, 3 years of him doing all that. And you know, yes, he built some alliances. Yes, he was tag team champions with Jey Uso. So that one was a little bit more believable in that they've actually formed a really, really good relationship. And I'm not saying that that wasn't the case necessarily with KO, because I know some people would dispute that. It's just that with this one, you're getting, it feels a little bit more like well built. It feels like it makes sense. Like Hangman and Swerve, that's been a thing for a long time, you know? So like these guys have had animosity and hatred toward one another for so long. There's like definitive lore there that you could build upon. And they have. And even with Ospreay coming in as like the guy, it was that whole vibe of, it was kind of like the Cody situation where like Cody comes in from the outside company. He rises to the top of the mountain. Everyone loves him, blah, blah, blah. And then meanwhile, like the company guy, Kevin Owens, doesn't get the opportunity at WrestleMania. No, instead it's, you know, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. Like there are ways you can kind of like look at this and see like some interesting parallels, but the ways that AEW are doing it, in my opinion, feel a little bit more cohesive because these players have been involved for such a long time. So it's obviously a different situation. It's not one that I would fault WWE with because it's just circumstances of like, you know, everything. But with AEW, Matt, I do get this feeling that it's like, yeah, there's like real building of like alliances here. Hangman's trying to actually like do the right thing. Like there's a lot to unpack with it, if you will.
So The big difference here, and there's something I loved about, especially this past week's episode. The difference with the WWE situation, I do think you have a point about like a lot of those people didn't feel like they were legitimately Cody's friends. It felt like, oh, those are baby faces on that side of the paper.
Because I've followed Cody's story for years, and you know who Cody's boys are if you followed Cody's story. So it was a little bizarre, but sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Even as cool as the speech was, like the Seth Rollins, let me be your shield promo was good, but it kind of came out of nowhere of just like, forget my like world title stuff. I'm just going to be your friend out of like, because we've had a match before and it was really good. And I don't know. I know what you mean here though. It's kind of the opposite. None of these guys are friends.
Yeah.
And it's a struggle to come together and there's distrust and there's that. So like, it's intriguing to see like, it's also a bit of a will they, won't they, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so what I really wanted to talk
about. AEW's Jim and Pam.
Right? Yeah, but it's a thruple edition.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's Jim, Pam, with Karen, and Stan.
Karen Filippelli. Yeah. Dwight. Dwight. Karen. It's Dwight. It's Dwight, Pam, and Jim. That's what it is. They're all friends.
What I love, there's that, is like, it hasn't been like, it's like all of a sudden Hangman gets the opportunity and everybody goes, yeah, buddy, we're with you and everything that. It's a lot of distrust. And so what I loved that in this episode, you said it, GB, the Fyter Fest was kind of just like a Saturday night's main event of just like matches that happened. Nothing really moved forward, blah. This one, a lot of stuff going on. And in the span of one night, one of our baby faces here, Swerve Strickland, is now going through his own, not redemption, but learning phase. Hangman has started his journey already, is turning things around, redeeming himself. But Swerve, from moment, is, no, I don't trust a damn thing he ever will say, ever will do. This Young Bucks BS, I've already been burned by it back at, what was it, Revolution, or whatever like that. He almost took my head off. Mm-hmm. And he even said he was almost thinking about all that. Still so much distrust. And so he has no risk. So now he's going through his own thing. And in the span of one episode, which is what I loved, he also didn't trust Ospreay when Ospreay's trying to play peacemaker. So screw you. They started fighting each other. They had this match. And in one night, Ospreay sacrifices himself for Swerve taking that super kick. And then hours later, his most hated enemy is telling the Young Bucks to stay out of his way, stay out of Swerve's way, leave him alone. Don't do anything to him. Like actively telling, because he had always doubted. He's like, yeah, he says it, but I don't believe it for a second that he's not in cahoots with them.
Yeah.
And now he actually finally heard it from the horse's mouth, from the cowboy's mouth, if you will. Like, oh, maybe he's actually serious. And a second thing that I normally wouldn't like in like a film or like anything like that, but it's wrestling, so you got to tease people a little bit. When Swerve reacted to that, hearing Hangman call off the Young Bucks, and Nana asked him, did he hear it? He seemed like almost mad, like, yeah, I heard every freaking word. Which, and normally when you hear, like, oh, I was wrong, I would like to see the guy go, oh, like have that moment of, oh my God, I can't believe I'm wrong. In a movie, maybe, in a rom-com, sure. But it's wrestling, so you want to be kind of left with like, but wait, why are you looking so mad? Oh God, like Hangman, that's your proof. But oh no, Swerve's so crazy, he's not going to believe it, and he's still going to attack him. So it leaves you with that question for the next time they meet, of like, maybe he's not convinced yet.
Yeah,
but I think he is, and I think we'll see him save the day for Hangman sometime in the near future.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a long rant.
I loved
that about this episode. That through line in one night, the two people he was doubting the most proved that they were men of their word.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I think that is the reason why, Jake, this story has been AEW's best in like long since Adam Cole MJF, without a doubt. This has been like their best men's story that they've done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not even close. And I think it's a credit to everyone involved. I also think it's a credit to like just leaving that question mark. That's so hard to do. It's so hard to like, it's so hard to do and to keep people like interested in and on the edge for, of like, what is it going to take? What has to happen? And leaving this big question mark until the biggest event of the year, that just boosts the intrigue even more. And really, really raises the stakes. Which you think you couldn't do more than you are already, because it's the world title. It's all in.
And it's in a briefcase. It's this
redemption story. It's right. And all this different stuff going on, and it's because we could have very easily, and we did, grown tired of it.
Yeah.
You know, but now that they've steered it in this direction, they've righted the ship, they've realized that maybe the Death Riders need to be the secondary character in their own story to a degree.
Yeah.
And that the intrigue and interest is in what's going on outside of that.
Yeah.
Now they're hitting their stride with it.
They're the White Walkers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
They're the White Walkers. Like they don't speak. They don't really, they just cause violence, but we just know they're the big bad. We're not really curious about their story. We're curious about how everybody is going to get together.
How are you going to stop this? Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're kind of this nameless, faceless, not nameless, but like, you know, amorphous group of evil.
Yeah. Something we'll move on to one more AEW topic before we wrap it up before AEW. But one thing that to kind of go back to the thing I was saying about the Cody and the parallels between this situation and the Cody one, not trying to make it that, but again, both were amazing. Or sorry, well, we don't know yet. We haven't seen this one, but the build has been amazing. And 41 was an amazing match, or 40 was an amazing match in moment. But you guys mentioned how like the Death Riders are like secondary characters here. And it's funny because we were all talking about Cody winning the title, but it was the story as they built it was about getting the belt off of Roman, right? That felt more pertinent than Cody winning the title was a plus, it felt like. But Seth Rollins, I'll be your shield. He was there specifically.
The objective here is different, is what you're saying. The objective
here is different, which is...
It's about getting Hangman win the title and not get... have...
Yeah, which, I don't know. People could read into it a million different ways, and I don't think that there's like
also
a wrong way.
But it's also different because that story was 5 years in the making.
Very true.
You know, so
I mean, you can make the case that this one's been a couple years in the making too, since Hangman lost that belt and his character went through his like downward spiral. You know, like this whole thing was because he lost that belt to CM Punk and then went insane, you know? So, dude, I love it. I love it. It's so good. One last thing, though, that we're going to talk about before we go, because it is official. We will see Kenny Omega going up against Kazuchika Okada for the Unified Championship. Wait, what is the Unified Championship?
I don't know.
That is the...
I know what it is. It is a terrible, terrible name.
It is a gorgeous belt, though. Gorgeous belt.
Great looking belt.
I freaking love the design. It looks like the old women's
title. That's like, what if Sydney Sweeney was named Pustule? Like that, you know what I mean? Like, would she still be quite as beautiful?
What?
If her name was Pustule and not Sydney?
I think so. It doesn't change. I don't know.
I have a lot of kids named Pustule.
I think you'd balk at it for a minute. You'd be like, wait.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Darling, you need a stage name.
You're like,
This feels like, though, I'm okay only because it's just different. And it's okay to kind of just like have something different. Like, I was really genuinely curious what the hell they were going to do with the naming convention of this thing, since they had a continental and an international title. Personally, I would have liked them to have kept the international title. I think the international title had lineage and history, but it does sound like they're blending everything together into one, and this is going to represent one title reign. Go for it. Sorry.
Let me know if you think... So, like, I actually don't... I don't like it.
Yeah, that's fair.
But but more importantly... That's it. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that one.
Moving on.
So at the moment it was shown. But
more specifically, I don't like it for this title. Because as weird as it, I feel like it would work if it were combining two, like WWE had two world titles.
Yeah.
Because like when they did the Undisputed Championship in like 02, it sounds like the unified title should be the biggest title in the company.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
But this is like a mid-card title or however you want. I don't like the term mid-card title, but like a secondary title.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, you need to call it like the Unified Oceanic Champ. There's a missing word.
There's a missing word
there.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what it sounds like. It's inflating its
like if prestige. You were like a AEW Ultimate like Unified Champion, that sounds the top of everything.
If you heard World Champion and Unified Champion, you'd be like, oh, they have two world champions now. They have two world champions like WWE does. And I understand that's again like maybe a little trying to up the prestige of the title a little bit, I don't know. To the outsider, it's not going to make any sense. If you don't watch AEW that much or at all, and you hear Unified Champion, I'm thinking like that's the dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's how that sounds to me.
Well, but the thing is though, is it still is the world title. So, you know, like it's kind of hard to, I know what you guys are saying though. I don't disagree. I agree. Like the title, the name is not good. Like I'm not okay. I like it only because it's different. I like different. I'm okay with different. Like it's like when people were like complaining when they changed like the NXT title from like the old the old X title, right, to like the new one. And everyone was like, "Oh, it lost its distinctiveness." And I was like, I get it, but like it still has the X. It still has the characteristics of an NXT title, right? And that's obviously more of the title, not the naming convention. But in this particular instance, the name is certainly a little confusing. And I could see how people would initially look at it. But I also do think that it's a thing that people will just move on from eventually. Because this is just happening. And like, you know, you kind of just got to... Because look, to give you guys a funny story...
This is the cope of title names.
Oh, yeah. This is the cope of title names. This honestly, yes. Holy shit, dude. That's so good. Yes, this is the cope of title names. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to say a really, really silly story. So years ago, when my friend first introduced me to TNA, and they told me about the X Division title, my mind went into a million different places because I was like, what's the X division? Is it like extreme? Is that what they're implying? Is it, you know, and I remember that, and I remember that distinctly. But then, you know, as I like started to watch TNA more and I saw what the X division actually was, I was like, oh no, this is awesome. The X division is a division. Like, that's why I think it's like so unique in TNA's world, because it's the X division, you know, it's so different. So that's why I'm like giving it a pass, but I do agree. It's a caca name. It is a flat out caca name. Like I'm curious how they came across it in the board meeting. You know, they're like all getting together. Like, all right, guys, we got to figure it out, because we cannot call this thing the Intercontinental Championship. We already made one and we made the other. We can't do this. People will make fun of us. I don't know. It was pretty fun, but yeah.
Tell us down below.
Yeah.
What you think.
Good call.
This title should be named what you would have named it.
What would you guys have named it if you had to think of one? I probably would have gone with something like something that played off of like the All Atlantic version of it, like the All you know something champion. Like I would have done something in that regard, rather than to like differentiate it from the world title. And the TNT title, you know?
Right.
So like, there's two things. I mean, there are people have argued like New Japan had an intercontinental title. So like, it's not unprecedented that some other company uses the term intercontinental. That said, yes, everybody would have a field day with it, but the precedent is there. Much like when TNA just recently introduced our international title. Yeah, people made some comments, but then 2 weeks later, it's just like, okay, that's the international
title. Well, now you guys are the only international title, so...
Yeah, now, which is great.
Hey, we did it, guys. Yeah. And...
Interplanetary.
And it's a gorgeous belt, so yay, we did it again.
I don't know, like the Unified Open Championship, or...
Oh,
open.
Okay. I've got it.
Okay.
He's got it. You just got to think about your not pronoun, your prefixes, that's it.
Okay.
So... You have intercontinental, which means between continents, different separate continents, right? Which is basically the world anyway.
Yeah.
Continental just means one particular continent. International, again, between nations and everything. Mm-hmm.
The continental.
Intra, which means within one body, right?
Oh, yeah.
Intraplanetary champion.
Okay, now you
So it also just means world champion, but it's just a different word.
This bitch. He's
intraplanetary.
You literally had me in the first half. I'm so mad at how good you had me in the first half. And then out of nowhere, you came in with some bullshit. It's crazy.
You tell me the difference between the world title and the...
And the what? Sorry, you cut off for a sec.
The world title and the intercontinental title, as far as what those two things mean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. It is.
If you represent all seven continents, do you not represent the world?
No, because the world is two-thirds water. So you got to include
the reality.
Are you fighting walruses for
John Moxley represents the people of Atlantis.
I mean,
okay. And that's the world. Okay. You got to remember that. All right. We saw Wakanda forever. Okay. We know what's there. All right. Oh, man. All right. Look. In the comments, let us know. What do you think about this? And what would you call the belt? And then also, how would you rate Kenny Omega's performance with the blood spitting out of his mouth? I'm going to give him an 8.5. That was pretty. That was great.
Out of 20?
Out of 10. I liked it. It was so dramatic. It was so overtly dramatic.
It was dramatic. He was like,
blah, blah. I was like, yes, this is stupid. I'm okay with stupid. But what Jake, I'm assuming you didn't like the blood.
It took me so out of it.
Oh, really?
Like, what? Yeah, it was so community theater. I was like, what?
It was like B horror movie.
Yes.
It's like really evil was. Shit.
I was expecting him to start kind of all flaming.
Yeah.
He did kind of like that a few times. You got to remember, Kenny has been, he's been in this position multiple times now where he's been on a stretcher and then brutally attacked.
Yeah.
Okay. So you kind of had to up it from the last time, you know?
I guess just avoid stretchers, Ken. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, yeah, that seems to be your weakness, is stretchers.
Kenny Omega in a stretcher match doesn't make it. When? Book it. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Although I will say, it would be, even though we just did a stretcher match with Briscoe and Ricochet, I kind of wish they didn't do that now and they saved it for this shit. It would have been great. Oh, Jesus. Oh, it would have been awesome. In any case, so let us know what you think in the comments down down below. We'd love to hear from you regarding what do you think with the AEW Unified Championship. Oof, saying that out loud does make it sound kind of important. All right, and then our last topic of the week. We're going to go over to WWE because a lot happened this week. Some good.
It felt like, let me really quick, just to overall say it. I just want to see if you guys... It felt like just a lot of stuff. It felt less cohesive than it has in the past. Like a lot of Cody's showing up here. He's also showing up here. Cena's cutting promos on everybody. Goldberg's here. Like it felt like there was just a lot
there's
of
no brand split anymore. I mean,
oh no. Yeah. Punk is showing up everywhere too. Yeah. He's on both shows. Cody's on both shows. Cena's on both shows. It feels like they're just like throwing cannonballs, but not as much of it has been coherent and cohesive as it has been in the past.
Yeah. I
little chaotic week.
I think the only, and I don't know if this is how they're framing it, but the only way that I see the brand split is that the belts are defended on their shows. That's how I've gathered it. Like the wrestlers show up all over the place, but the belts, like the world titles, they're defended on Raw. The Intercontinental's defended on Raw. Same thing with the US and the worlds over there. Like, I feel like that's like how they identified the brand split. But outside of that, but that takes us to our final topic here, which is that everyone hates John Cena. And we really mean everyone, but also, speaking of people we're not too thrilled to see, Goldberg is back, everybody. Yay! Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun for everyone to see Goldberg at 58 years old back again? You know? So let's start with the Goldberg part, because I think the John Cena part is way more interesting, and I think we're just going to move past the Goldberg stuff. So I'm not a fan because it feels so just like telegraphed, like like that, and it and we've always talked like telegraph or whatever, it's fine, but I don't know what it was about this one, but this one just felt weird because they reference this interaction that they had months ago in Atlanta when Gunther disrespected Goldberg in front of his family, and we all know toxic masculinity. Can't disrespect me in front of my family, I'm a man. So you know, Goldberg's back. But the few things that I have issue with is like, so you cut Jey Uso's reign for this when he was like white hot and everyone was loving it. So like it was actually ramping up quite nicely and I was really enjoying the matches. And we thought he might win and we could be done with Gunther Jey Uso for a little while. Nope, that's not happening. But then Goldberg comes back and I'm like, if I'm Jey Uso, don't I want my world title back? Like, am I missing something here? Like, is there...
He has a rematch.
He does? Okay.
That's why he's in King of the Ring.
Oh, wait, that's why he's in King of the Ring? Because of his rematch clause?
No,
God, so that he can get a rematch. That's what
shouldn't he already have a rematch?
But I also remember a few
sometimes
years
they
ago,
use it, sometimes they
them
don't.
Saying that the... There was sometimes no guaranteed rematch clause anymore.
Whenever it's convenient, they bring that
right. Right.
Okay. So I mean, that's a little like whatever. But I guess then in that regard, I can't help but wonder then, how does Goldberg qualify for a title match?
This is Goldberg.
But
you know what I mean. Like from the story, it just doesn't make sense.
There is no story. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
I mean,
and they made it official minutes after the promo. So there was no GM making it, you know, no one is like, oh, he showed up. Okay. Let's put him in a title match.
Yeah. Yeah. Go for it, Jeff.
And I get the,
I mean, this,
we're all emotional.
I actually think this is the best thing that could happen for Jay.
Okay. In what way?
Let me show you my math. Goldberg has screwed up the title reigns of both Kevin Owens and Bray Wyatt. Dude. So he is in very good company by now being the third person to be screwed over for a Goldberg match. Like, that to me means Jay's a made man. Like, I mean, if you look at it from that perspective.
Yeah.
Cause you just got Goldberged. Like, this is like, this is what happens.
Yeah. They didn't want to feed Jay to Goldberg. Yeah.
I'm sure it's a situation where Goldberg was like, Gunther, that's who I want my last match to be. And Triple H was like, I decided to do the same shit that they did with Kevin Owens, which to me is my ultimate rebook. That is my biggest rebook of all time, is Kevin Owens should never have lost the title to Goldberg. Yep. He should never have lost the title to Goldberg. And him versus Jericho should have main evented WrestleMania.
Yeah. I've seen people argue against it because they said it didn't feel big, but
fucking fools.
That's what I'm
saying.
Because
go watch the Festival of Friendship and tell me that wouldn't have been a massive match. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
And it was so easy to do too. It would have been so easy. It was such a colossal screw up. It bothers me to this day. Whenever someone's like, you can change one match, that's it. And it's easy. It's an easy thing. You just don't need the title for Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar.
Nope.
Yep.
Didn't need
that. That doesn't need a title. And
and they're doing it again.
That's a whole different episode.
We did put up a poll on the rebooked community page on YouTube asking you all who you thought was going to win. Who you thought was going to win. And I believe Scan had shared.
Mm-hmm. He did.
And he said,
and the answer was no one.
They didn't want Gunther to lose it.
Does Goldberg win at Saturday night's main event?
Here it is.
89% said not a chance Gunther will retain.
Not a chance Gunther will retain. Not a chance.
No, not
a chance, comma,
Gunther will retain. Yes.
Which I think that's a lot of wishful thinking. I hope so. You would think, especially in this era of WWE, that they're more future minded and everything like that. So I hope too, but I when it comes to good old G-Berg, I don't really trust anything.
So I was talking to my buddy Wyatt, who does listen to the show on occasion. Shout out to Wyatt. Work with him over in VCT.
Well, shout out to occasion on occasion to Wyatt.
No, he actually sent me something, and I wanted to just read it real fast because he said that he's convinced himself that the reason why they're doing this is for Seth Rollins cash in, because Triple H famously does not like the Money in the Bank briefcase. He doesn't like to keep it in play for too long, according to rumor and stuff, which is not what we work with, but makes sense. And if we're thinking about it narratively, with a matchup that has no story, right? You want something that's going to be quite memorable. So I could see a Seth Rollins cash in is Gunther's choking out Goldberg, and Goldberg probably is going to tap, or maybe something's happening, and then he goes for the
There's
jackhammer.
No chance Goldberg taps. There's
no. I don't think Goldberg's going to tap, but I do think that Seth Rollins is going to cash in. Probably Gunther's got him in a sleeper, and then he does the curb stomp on Gunther, and then then everything else, he just beats up Goldberg or whatever, and then he just wins the belt. I could see them just doing the Levi Stadium WrestleMania join again, the heist of the century and all that stuff. And he kind of we were talking about it. He was like, for what other reason are you doing this match? For what other reason?
I will pose this then, because they didn't, I guess it's assumed and by some people, are we assuming this is his Goldberg's retirement match? Or do we think he's coming back for some short kind of run and then retiring later? Because if this is his retirement match, just knowing the personality that Bill has, he's not going to retire on a screwy cash-in finish. I'll tell you that much.
And they're not billing it as a retirement
match. No, they're not. That is true. But I think this is, at the very least, I think we understand that this is probably the retirement run, according to things he's said and stuff recently. So, but we don't know if it's one and done or if he's going to be here, be SummerSlam, and then Survivor Series is it or whatever.
I don't know. What do you guys think? You think it's a, Jake, you think it's a one and done? You think there's more meat on the bone with him?
It's ironic that you say that. I want you to bring up the video that I just sent in.
Well, I don't know if I can.
Writer's room. Oh, well, if you can't, then I'll just describe it anyway. I don't know if, how much it's going to matter. Because what I think is going to happen is I think Goldberg's knee is going to shred when he steps into the ring and tries to run. He did not look super.
It's gonna be a little janked. Mobile.
I mean, yeah. This is what I expect to happen. When Goldberg steps in the ring and tries to do a jackhammer, here's his knee right here. Boom, gone. That's how it looked to me. And like, this is coming from someone who does not have great knees himself. Oh. But it looks like just a smoked turkey leg just shaking.
It's crazy because in any other context, I'm like, oh, that looks freaking delicious. But now I'm just creeped out thinking about that. Oh, that's all over.
Yeah. I mean, it makes no narrative sense.
Yeah. And that's the thing that's more annoying.
Why he gets a title match. It's literally just because he's Goldberg. But again, he doesn't.
I get it if it's like Sting, who like was very like, you know, picky and choosy with the matches he did and made sure that he was like, you know, putting himself in positions.
Someone who rarely got a title shot.
Yeah.
You know, like an R-Truth gets a title shot. It's his retirement match kind of like, I understand that.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But him just coming back and being like, my family, give me a title match.
You disrespected my family. Now I want your belt. And it's like, huh?
In my own hometown. Like, the dude wants to work remote. Like, that's all this is. He just wants to work remote. He wants to work from home.
Yeah. Well, it is frustrating because we're fans of storylines and this is just nothing. This is like truly nothing. But I am curious to see what happens from this if the Seth cash-in does in fact happen. If it doesn't, which I fear it very well may not, then I'm left wondering what was the point. If Goldberg wins and beats Gunther, I mean, sure. Then the next person who holds the belt needs to be Seth Rollins. Plain and simple. He needs to get the belt. Like, that's it. That's all it is. You know,
you're going to hear, I am a real American. He's going to come down and win the title next if Goldberg wins it.
I don't know.
It's just.
But you know what, though? Let's not harp on it because there's no reason to be negative on it. Whatever. We'll see what happens. And whatever happens, happens. I will say, though, my own little thing. I know we don't talk about these things, but I think it's a little screwed up that they scheduled this right over All In. And I'll be real with y'all. I do not see a world where Goldberg versus Gunther, and I love Gunther, is more compelling to me than Kenny Omega versus Okada or Moxley versus Hangman.
Doesn't matter.
Tony Storm versus Mercedes Moné.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's like.
It doesn't matter. That's the thing. So here's the thing. WWE is big enough and everything. They don't need to win that night.
That's true.
Know they're not going. They know that. But. They're just doing it to siphon even what little bit away.
Yeah.
And if they know they'll fill an arena because it's in a different state and everything like that. And
it's on national television for free.
It's in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yep. yeah. kind of thing. So like they're not, it's not like the idea we need to beat them
or
more viewers. It's just like, well, fine, but watch, we can siphon off 10,000 of their viewers easily.
Yeah, I think
it feel petty a little bit.
It's shitty. It's very petty. Yeah. And it but like, you know what? I mean, it is what it is, right? Like they're like people ultimately will make the decision of what they want to watch, you know, and I'm going to be an all in. So I'm okay. Look,
and I understand that it is shitty. But at the end of the day, it's not WWE's responsibility to help AEW make money. Like, I don't think that they should, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like, yes, I wish that. It doesn't need to be that way, but I
get what you're saying. You're completely valid in that for sure. Yeah. In some fun news though, and shifting gears, let's talk about John Cena and everyone hating him. This does feel like the natural course of where things would go, given how much John Cena has done and how much he's pissed people off and how frustrating of a human being he has been with this character. I like it. I like it a lot. I like this idea, Jake, that everyone doesn't just want a piece of John Cena, but they want to they just really do not like the guy. And are now very much making it like, hey guys, this dude sucks. Can we handle this here? And I'm kind of digging that. I like this idea of like, yes, he's a bad guy, and yes, you want to relate to your bad guy, but sometimes you also just want to be like, man, that guy sucks. And that's what John Cena is.
Yeah. Cena had, like, I know his heel run isn't what any of us expected it to be, and it has been lackluster, but I really just want him to lean, like, I think we can still have a John Cena heel run and still get the John Cena that we love if he just leans into 80s high school movie bad guy.
Like Johnny Lawrence, like, type stuff.
Yes.
Like Biff?
Yes. Like Biff, like Johnny Lawrence, like any of those.
Yeah.
Like if he just leans into that, and is almost a little cartoonish, because we've seen there was that moment backstage. If I recall right, it was like at the beginning of a SmackDown where commentators were talking over the top of it, introducing the show, but Cena was like cartoonishly arguing with Nick Aldis. Do you remember that?
I don't know if it was last week or the week before.
Yeah, it's just this over the top, like, give me that Cena. Like, give me the Cena who's having fun being a bad guy.
Yeah.
Because that's what I think what people wanted to see is people wanted to see like the, I really do. But like this version of Cena that's doing this, like, it's all about me now. And it's all about I don't know. I just don't know how I feel about it anymore. And I want, Matt just sent that to me. Yeah, it's exactly what I'm talking about.
Put it up.
But like,
lean
into that, because I think that would make a more fun Cena heel run if he's just acting like this. Like, just be this version of Cena.
I mean, he's already been a cartoonish good guy for a lot of his career, right?
Exactly. Like, so it made sense to be the same thing, but just a heel version of it.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see more of. Yelling at him. He's so like animated and cartoonish. Like, that's what I just have him do dickish things.
Yeah.
Smile and laugh about it and just be like, hey, this is the John Cena you all wanted. And not this, like, this is what you made me. And this is how, I just like the idea of him being like, look, you wanted me. This is what you wanted for years. And now that I'm giving it to you, you're mad. And you know what I realized? It's fun. Being a bad guy is fun, and I want to lean into it even more. And you think you love it, but then you're like, almost like, I can't believe I'm saying this, Ricochet.
Yeah, Ricochet.
He needs to be what Ricochet is doing.
Dude, that's a hot take. People will be mad about that.
I know that they will, but that's That's honestly what I want to see more of him just being a cartoonish heel,
trolling people. Like, yes. Yeah, literally being. Yeah.
Yes. Because he also did that shit as a face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you just flip the perspective on it,
yep,
then it works. And he's still John Cena doing John Cena.
How do you avoid it becoming funny? How do you avoid it becoming funny, though? Because when I see that is funny. And that is
I think that that's fine. Yeah, I think it's fine if you like him, but I think you have to have these moments sprinkled in there where you're like, oh yeah,
that's why I hate him. Yeah,
that's why.
I mean, he's still at the end of that. That's an entertaining segment to see him being turning his hat backwards and yelling at Nick Aldis like a petulant 12-year-old.
Right.
But he's also going to kick CM Punk in the nuts, and you're all going to go, oh, screw you.
Yeah.
You're all going to boo him. So, like,
if he's brutal and bloodies people up and, you know, just and fights dirty and stops matches from happening in the backstage by attacking people and just laughing about, like, that's do that.
Do you remember how Steve Austin was in his corporation? Or the heel run that he did when he was injured.
And he's like playing guitar in the back.
He was like comically.
Yeah, the Alliance.
Really funny, but he was still a bad guy. And he was still doing bad guy things. He was doing things that made you still want to boo for him. But on occasion, he would do something that would just be so utterly hilarious that there's just no world you couldn't help but just laugh. So I think that is something maybe that they're trying to channel here. And if that's the case, yeah, give us more. I agree with you. Give us more. Look,
you want to talk about a hot take?
Ooh.
It's it is unfortunate that Donald Trump's as funny as he is.
Yeah. And like not in like a he's funny, but like we laugh at him, not with.
But he all like every now and then he says something where I'm like. That's kind of funny. Like, I'm like, damn it. That's kind of funny. And so I think it's okay for Cena to be like that, where it's where you're just like, okay, that was funny. That was a good bit.
And then he just, fascism, you know?
Because but Kevin Owens is also really good at doing that too. Yeah. Kevin Owens is very good at that. So like the blueprint is there for that to be done. And I think Cena could have done it in a unique way that it's still feels like a last Cena run, but if he played it like he did the Firefly Funhouse match, then I think we'd be having a different tune altogether about this.
I do agree on that, and I like what you're saying about him just needing to be cartoonishly evil, you know. Because he was cartoonishly good, so it would make sense that he would be cartoonishly evil.
Yeah, he's not throwing Cena.
Yeah, it's Snidely Cena. Yeah.
Yeah, like he's not throwing his weight around enough.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like he needs to do more. Like, I'm not doing that because I'm John Cena. I'm doing this because I'm John Cena.
I don't think they're going to do it, but you know who I would love? I've been saying this for so long, but I would love to see, especially with that last interaction. Bro, Nick Aldis, when are you going to put the boots back on and get into the ring, brother? And one match with the former NWA World's Champion and the face that runs the place of WWE. Oh, my God, would be so sick. But I don't think it's
ever. And you could even do it some kind of like, you can, you know, Cena can come. Like, it's easy to book this, I think, too, where you can be like, Cena's like, I'm tired of the matches you're putting me in. I'm tired of the positions that you're putting me in. I want control over my own destiny.
Yeah.
And it's I'll fight you for it. I'll fight you for it. If I win, you don't get to tell me what to do with my title anymore. I make my matches.
That would be interesting. That'd be sick.
That would be really interesting. And see that match between, and Aldis is like, okay, but if I win and you don't do what I say, then that title's getting vacated.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if the next time you don't do something I say, just in general.
That's exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do some, it's, you know, just for control over, you know, his future. I get, I like that, that you could do something like that.
Yeah. Two things, Matt, that I want to pick your brain on here. Firstly, is because I kind of feel like now with CM Punk fighting Cena and Saudi, I kind of feel as if it's that's cooked. And I don't think that they're going to do anything with that now. Kind of a letdown, if I'm being honest with you. Because they're using all the material that I thought that they would use for, you know, Money in the Bank, when he won, when he left, and all that stuff. And they're using it here. They're using it all here. And I know you could probably revisit it down the line. But now it does kind of throw a spanner, because my whole thing was like, maybe he, you know, because he's going to go towards SummerSlam, seen as champion, right? I believe he'll...
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was my hope was we were going to see Cena Punk at SummerSlam, but and we still could, you know, it seems like it's going to end up being in Saudi Arabia. So that being said, who now is that person that they used to get that belt off of Cena? When do they do it?
I don't know.
And how, don't why know is that. It R-Truth?
Well, I was gonna say R-Truth may be the only guy to get a rematch with Cena's retirement tour.
Yeah.
Because I think Cena's think about it. He had like what? He has 16, 15 dates left. I'm willing to bet 5 to 7 of those are matches at best. And he's giving a rematch to R-Truth. That says a lot about the moment that Truth has created. I don't know, man. I mean, I thought it could be Punk. I thought you could tell a really cool story, but they're shooting their shot here, so I don't think he's losing. Dude, I mean, all I can Cody see is Cody getting it back.
Cody isn't compelling. Cody just, because then it's like it's just a stopgap.
You know maybe, who I think? Yeah. You know who I
don't know.
I'd love for it to be Sami Zayn.
That would be wild.
I would love to see him win King of the Ring and get to call his shot and have a match against.
That would be out of left field.
Against Cena.
Okay,
but think about it. It's not going to be Jay. I just don't think it's going to be Jay. Cody, like you said, is not that compelling. We already had Randy versus Cena.
You guys see the Who's King left? Of the Ring, by the way?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So, Who's left? Sami Zayn. Because then what you can also do as well is then you do the one thing that everyone else has also been begging for, which is you finally give Karrion Kross a push. And you have him fight Sami Zayn for the title. Because he just said, when I'm done with all this, I'm coming for you. So that would be interesting to me if Sami Zayn could finally win a big championship, win the big one, and then you get that push for Kross as well.
So you think,
I don't know. I don't think that's what'll happen, but that's what I would like to see.
Well, I think that very well could happen. I don't think it happens at all via King of the Ring, et cetera, though. I don't think Sami wins King of the Ring. I think Cody probably wins King of the Ring. We get a rematch with him at SummerSlam. I think Cena holds on to it because we're sticking with Cena until December, whenever that Boston Saturday night's main event is or whatever, his last match. I think we're sticking with him to the end, potentially.
You think he's holding the belt till the end?
Maybe.
Because it's feeling like that. It's feeling like that.
Yeah. And I could see a thing where I could see a thing where you could have a little bit of a WrestleMania 30 Daniel Bryan kind of story with Sammy, but he stumbles along this way. Couldn't get out of King of the Ring. There's another tournament that happens. He makes it to the, can't quite get it. And Cena berates him for that. I've always liked you, Sammy, but you've never been able to hit the trigger, hit the mark when it counted. Sorry, kid. Oh, wait, you're not a kid. You're 48 years old at this point, old man. You know what I mean? Like, everyone treats you like there's this underdog kid, but you've been doing this 25 years, too. You've been doing this longer than me. What's your freaking excuse? There's a reason I'm the GOAT. There's a reason you're a little everybody.
Yeah.
But he dances with, but never gets it done.
Yeah.
And then he gets it done. And knowing John, again, this whole heel run is very unconventional, and he wanted to try something different, and John is very giving with big moments, and I know he wants to lift other people up. So I see him not just, you know, dropping to a Cody or to a Randy or to a, I do see him maybe wanting to do something momentous, memorable and stuff on his way out. So I could totally see that. Of all our kind of mid upper level contenders who have never gotten it, I think Sammy's your guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Jay was one of those guys, but he just had his first run. So, I mean, Sammy's one of those guys who've been at the upper tier, but and never plus, had that.
If Sammy beats Cena, it doesn't really feel like an attaboy. It feels like a big deal. He's beating John Cena on his retirement tour.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that, you know, and Sammy finally gets the respect that he deserves. Like,
yeah,
I would love to see. I would love to see it be something like that. Because Sammy's super over, too.
Yeah.
And he has been.
That hasn't changed for years.
Even when he was a heel, he was over.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He's so good. And I just want to see people like that, like, get their flowers.
Yeah.
That's what I want so bad.
I agree. It would be very interesting to see Sammy get put in that position, because I know, like, we all would love it as Sami Zayn fans, but also,
and I'll tell you what, I'd love it if it were R-Truth too. I ain't mad at that.
I'm okay with R-Truth as well. I'm okay. With
I mean, because we haven't thought about we haven't thought about the R-Truth of it all.
Yeah, very true, and that very truth, and that could actually have interesting ramifications, because it could have caused a bit of a pivot. One last thing before we move forward. We also have the women's side of the King of the Ring tournament to yap about real fast. So let's go ahead and show that here. Alexa Bliss and Asuka are going to be going up against each other, which, take me back. That's awesome. And then the future of WWE is going to be facing off against each other with Roxanne Perez and Jade Cargill. That match is gonna bang, by the way. I because Roxanne Perez is insane. Let's and Jay Cargo, obviously, but Roxanne Perez, I mean, she's a prodigy for a reason. Who wins out on this one? Who do you see going to that final? Maybe we don't have to do the predictions for who wins, but who's going to the final? Does Bliss beat Asuka, or is Asuka beat Bliss, and then vice versa? What would be the more interesting scenario, given the champions that we have in play right now with Tiffany Stratton and Io Sky?
I think Jade versus Asuka.
Yeah, I do too.
I think Jade versus Asuka.
I think it's going to be Roxanne versus Alexa.
So you're being complete opposite.
Yeah, because I think Roxanne's going to win.
I mean, it honestly could. It could be. It could be. I think the queen gimmick fits Jade really well.
But think about Judgment Day.
Sure, and honestly, maybe Liv being out for a certain amount of time because of her shoulder may do something with that.
And Roxanne is the queen of Judgment Day?
Sure. But also think about who has the women's Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah, Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think it's Jade. That's what I think it's setting up. Either Jade has her match against, I guess I would probably say Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
Jade has her match against Tiffany, beats Tiffany. Naomi immediately cashes in. And then, like you said, that would also solve Triple H's problem of hating Money in the Bank, which I don't get. I love Money in the Bank. That's a weird,
like, behind the scenes rumor that I don't know anything about. But
I don't know.
Wyatt was the one who told me it, and I was like, "Oh, that's weird." But I guess that makes sense, you know, since like a weird thing. I don't know. Here's my. What were you gonna say, Matt? Sorry, you look.
I was just gonna say the other thing is your point was the thing about Judgment Day, Roxanne. Look. As far as the high school comedy goes with Judgment Day, I liked Porky's 1. I sat through Porky's 2. I don't need to see Porky's 3, 4, 5. Like, look, it's had its ups and downs, and it has had more staying power than I thought, but hot damn, the Judgment Day clubhouse locker room drama, it's starting to run thin on me a little bit.
Yeah.
I think one final thorn in the side, whether, you know, with Roxanne and Liv and blah, blah, blah. And let's be done with it. And let's let people like Finn go do something else and Dom and stuff like that. So I don't know. I may be in the minority there. Like, they're still doing it. I don't hate it at all. I'm not like, ugh.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to be like,
I'm with you.
A little bit.
And we've had these ups and downs with Judgment Day in the past, right? Like, we thought it was going to be over after the Liv Rhea battle.
Oh, yeah.
And then they kind of just found a way to keep it going with like a subtle rebrand. You know,
they just found a new succubus. They always have one.
Yeah.
Now it'll be Roxanne. It'll get some crazy new life after Roxanne takes over.
I guarantee
it'll be awesome again.
And we're gonna be like, Judgment Day's amazing. Oh my god,
right back. I was wrong.
Oh man, you dummy, you should have never had called for it to be over. No, honestly though, you're not wrong in that it has been going on for a while. It is now one of the longer standing stories in WWE. Because I'm pretty sure it was like Bloodline, and then Judgment Day was like right behind it. So it's been a while for our boys over in the JD. But yeah, there you have it, folks. Lots of digest. Let us know in the comments down below what you think about all this. Who you think are going to be the finalists for the men's and the women's King of the Ring? And if you want to let us know who you think is going to win, brownie points for that one, sound off in the comments down below. We'd love to hear from you. And hey, curious to see where things go from here. And of course, that takes us to the end of our show and the Reebok 24/7 Champion of the Week, where we talk about the person, place, or thing brought us the most joy in the world of wrestling, or not, doesn't matter. I'm gonna go first. Mine is really simple because I'm in Canada and I haven't been able to do, I didn't get to go, so I'm a little bummed. But shout out to all the people who went out on June 14th for the No Kings protest. That looked awesome. That was crazy. The sea of humanity that we were seeing in the street was just so freaking cool. Seeing New York pop off, Chicago popped off, California, the entire freaking state popped off. It was really dope. So shout out to that. Shout out to No Kings organizers. That was pretty dope. I know people are being like, politics. It ain't politics. It's human rights. So there you go. Love that one. What do you guys got?
I'll get mine's pretty simple too. And I think Jake will love this one. So it's pretty clear to me, within the world of wrestling, the star of the week is the one, the only, the man, the women's intercontinental champion who walked into Green Bay styling and profiling like only a true superstar and heel should, in full Bears regalia. Oh, doing my city, where she actually attended college briefly.
No way.
And her husband, who's a huge Bears fan, doing all of us proud.
That's and, so funny.
And repping as she got her ass beat by Bayley.
That's but, crazy.
Yeah, that was funny to see. She walked out and just straight up Bears like paraphernalia.
Bold lady.
Yeah.
It was not surprising. I would simply remind the man that the Bears in the past 10 years are 3-17 against the Packers.
But we don't need semantics. Are
anyway.
Wow.
Anyway.
Okay. Okay. We went there. What about for you,
Jake? My 24/7 champion of the week is Xavier Woods.
Yes.
Dressing like Silky Johnson from the Playa Haters Ball in the Chappelle Show. That outfit was,
I got to find
perfect.
It.
And that's exactly how Xavier Woods should dress all the time.
Yeah.
Especially with the heel stuff. Just go full on player haters ball.
Him and like, Kofi was, just in pinstripes and fur.
Oh my God.
Yes.
And suit suits and furs and like, yes.
I mean, everything.
Oversized cigars and stuff. Or cigarette holders, whatever
absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's see if I can pull this up here, because
it's on his Twitter.
Oh, it's on his Twitter? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he posted.
Stupid TikTok decided it wanted to send me over to the Netherlands.
I mean, there it is right here. I got you.
Thank you.
I
so
got
much.
You.
Yeah, his whole look is just absolute fire. Absolute fire. Oh, wow. Pulling this up here, and there are multiple pictures as well, because this guy's got the gift. You guys see
he did
it?
A whole shoot.
I don't know if you guys can see it. Yeah, I mean, Kofi too, dude. Like, it looks so good. Oh, man. Silky Johnson, dude. Silky freaking Johnson. You know what? I'm not.
Wait. Hold up. Flag on the play. I'm overriding your decisions because, gentlemen, we have a last minute entrant in the 24/7 Champion of the Week battle.
We have a run-in
because it was a special someone's birthday yesterday.
That's right.
Jake. Normally we would have been recording this on his birthday. It's Jake's birthday.
That's right. He's 53 years old and look at him go.
53 years young.
Yes.
I want to give it to our man Jake for surviving another year on this
godforsaken earth.
Planet.
I thought you know who I mean, I also share a birthday with Kendrick Lamar. So I thought that's who you were meant.
Yeah, all right, screw you. Kendrick Lamar is our 24/7.
And I did want to remember to include this because Scan sent it to me. He just said this is his 24/7 only because it just looks so funny.
That shot, I loved that.
This whole sequence
him standing like that. Him standing like that, just with the toothpick and the toothpick. The toothpick is what tied the outfit together.
The whole thing together.
Yes.
That said, though, Jake, you are receiving the 24/7 championship.
Yes.
For your birthday,
you know what? As the creator and first ever recipient, I'm not surprised.
Oh, wait. And does that make you a two-time recipient? Right?
Humility is his strong suit.
You are a two-time 24/7 champion winner.
Two-time.
I gotta start introing you as that. Jake the two-time. There you go. All right, everyone. We thank you so much for tuning in this week. A little bit of a lighter show. Didn't have as many graphics. Apologize for that because I'm working off of a single laptop. So thank you all for the patience. Sorry for uploading this late. If you're watching this, hopefully you're catching this a little bit before Dynamite and you can enjoy it. But I think there's some good conversations across the board that you can have and that you can enjoy for wrestling throughout the week. And, you know, we just want to make sure that we got an episode out because we want to make sure we get an episode out every week, whether we're traveling or not. We've been working hard on that and we're sticking to it. So thank you, everyone, for your patience. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Jake and Matt, for working with my schedule as well, because things have been crazy over here in Canada. I've been nonstop working, but we're just so grateful. Just watch some freaking wrestling this week and take care of yourself. That's the most important thing. All right. Be safe, everyone. Take care. Peace. What is that?
That was good.